So we have been looking for the last couple weeks at spiritual empowerment. I've got one more sermon in this idea that we're going to be talking about in a week or two. But we, bottom line is this, in the Christian life, we want to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was talking to somebody in Coshocton yesterday, and they made the comment to David. They're retired, and they're doing different things, and they said, you know what? Just doing what I can to see souls saved, because at the end of the day, what else is there? You know, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not here making a difference for Jesus Christ, let me ask you, what are we doing? But if we're going to make a difference for Christ, we're going to have to make a difference for Him His way. There are no lone rangers, there are no rebels without a cause in the Christian life. If we're going to make a difference for God, we're going to make a difference His way. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks a couple of different avenues that God has given us. We've preached on fasting, or praying. We've preached on being filled with the Spirit. And tonight we're going to look at fasting. By the way, all of these work in conjunction. It's not like I'll take this one, but not that one. All of these work in conjunction in our lives to empower us to live the victorious Christian life. Now, fasting is not something that we talk about. And if we do talk about, it is not something that many have ever done. Now, don't be embarrassed tonight, okay? But let me ask you, how many of you would say, you know what, I have never fasted before? Raise your hand tonight. If that's, I have never fasted. Don't be embarrassed tonight. That is probably the vast majority of us in this room can never say that I have honestly fasted before the Lord. And, you know, understanding and being able to acknowledge that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if this is something God has given us to do, I believe in this room we want to do what God tells us to. And so, you know what, we're here tonight not to beat anybody over the head, but to equip one another to live for Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. But the vast majority of Christians today know little to nothing about fasting. But I think it's interesting that it is an expected and even necessary part of the Christian life. How many would say the Christian life involves giving? Yes, the Christian life involves giving, and I have engaged in giving before. Yes, yes, all over the place. How many of us would say, okay, the Christian life involves praying, and I have been involved, I have engaged in praying before. Yes, yes. You know Matthew 6, what we just read? Look at Matthew 6, 2. Look what Jesus says. Wherefore, when thou doest thine alms, alms are giving, like giving to the poor, giving to the needy, that charity, if you will. Jesus said, for His followers, when you give. Well, yes, check, we do that. Look at verse 6. Jesus said this, but thou, when thou prayest. So Jesus assumes we give, yes. Jesus assumes we pray, yes. But we come to verse 16, Jesus says, moreover, when, not if, when ye fast. And most of us go, But understand this, Jesus teaches that fasting is an expected, even necessary part of the Christian life. And yet it is not something that we talk about or engage in. You know, I think it's something that is widely, even sometimes misunderstood in our day. Now, fasting in general is this. Fasting is widely understood as simply the giving up of food to seek the Lord. Now, it's a little bit more than that, and we'll get there. But it's generally understood, I'm just not going to eat, and I'm going to do a little more praying. That's what the general understanding is. And I think that's part of the reason why we don't talk about fasting much, because we like food. Amen? We are a Baptist church. We like food. I mean, we hardly get together when there's not fried chicken somewhere and a lot of it. We do food and we do it well. And really, our whole culture has an obsession with food. They did a study that said the average elementary school student sees 5,000 food commercials a year. 5,000 commercials on food a year. The average teenager goes up to 6,000 food commercials a year. Last time they did the Olympics, half of the commercials were food, and most of those were fast food commercials. Yes, because Michael Phelps eats Big Macs. We all know it's true. On a regular basis, the Olympic swimmers and runners are shoving their face full of McDonald's. That's what we all know is the case. But we have an obsession with food. You think about, there's even an entire food network on the television. We have become obsessed with food, and we're blind to it. We are blind as a culture to how obsessed we are with food. America is the only place in the world where I think we would have an obesity crisis and a skinny jeans fad at the same time. Because we are blind to our obsession. Tonight I'm going to teach a little. Tonight I'm going to preach a little. But here's my goal. I'm going to tell you my goal right off the bat. I want each of us to leave with an understanding of what biblical fasting is and how we should engage in it to find the spiritual empowerment that God desires. So Roman numeral 1 tonight, let's look at this. The passion of fasting. The passion of fasting. Fasting is the denial of self. The denial of self. Psalm 109 verse 24, the psalmist wrote this. He said, "My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness." It really is a denial of self. Now, we think about it a lot of times, like I said, in the realm of food or sustenance. But did you know that fasting and the denial of oneself, the denial of one's flesh, goes beyond whether or not you ate dinner tonight? The denial of flesh is more than pushing back from the dinner table. As the Bible develops this idea of fasting, there is also the idea of it is a denial of sensual pleasures. You look at Isaiah 58 in verse number 3. They said, "Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge?" These people are confused. They're concerned. They're saying, "God, we do all of these things. We're fasting, but you don't seem to notice." Look at God's response. "Behold," God says, "in the day of your fast, you find pleasure." So in other words, even though they were fasting, they decided, you know what, I'm fasting, but you know what, I would really enjoy a round of golf. And so they went and they took pleasure, physical, earthly pleasure, in a round of golf. I guess back then, maybe a chariot ride, or they shot them some bow and arrows, or whatever they did back in Bible times, they played a little hoop and stick game. Maybe that's not far enough back. I don't know. But whatever it was, they had something that they took pleasure in. And the Bible says, yes, they had pushed away from the food table, but God said, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure. And that is a barrier, that is a block to fasting. And so it is a denial of self. It is a denial of sustenance, food. It is a denial of sensual pleasure. You know, in the New Testament, it refers in the context of fasting that there is even a denial of sexual pleasure in the husband and wife relationship. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Charles, I didn't give it to you. Bring up verse 4, if you could, before we go to verse 5. Go to verse 4. I want to see a little context tonight. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 4, that the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Verse number 5, defraud ye not one another. And so in other words, the Bible is teaching about that marital relationship between the husband and the wife, and Paul is teaching here that the one ought not purposefully withhold themselves from the other in that marital relationship. It says, defraud not one another. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, marriage and that relationship, we make a covenant there to meet one another's needs. All across the board, right? And it's not about what I want, it's about what can I do to build you up as a person and in Christ. That's what marriage is. But anyways, He says, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And so, or your lack of self-control. And so, in other words, in this time of fasting, in this time of prayer, there is the idea and the expectation that there is a time in which the husband and wife, during that time of fasting, do not engage in a marital relationship. Why? Because in that time that you are denying your flesh, yes, it's food, yes, it's sustenance, but it's also that idea of the pleasures of the life and the pleasures of marriage. You know, we see in another portion, Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 18, this is the king when Daniel's in the lion's den, that the king went to his palace and passed the night with fasting, neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. There's the idea too, and this doesn't always have to be the case, but in this case there was a denial of sleep. The king stayed awake. He denied his body the rest that it desired. There's just a denial of self, period. Psalm 35 and verse 13, the psalmist said this, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto my own bosom." Can I sum it up for you? This is what fasting is. It is the total denial of our flesh for the development of our faith. Fasting is this. It is the total denial of our flesh for the development of our faith. Isaiah 58, we read that passage a moment ago. Verse number 5 says this, "Is it such a fast that I have chosen?" And God's going to tell us a fast that He has chosen. "A day for a man to afflict his soul." You don't hear that preached from the pulpits anymore. "Is it not to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" We see that it is a day for a man to afflict his soul. It is the denial of our flesh. Make it even more practical. It is trading one passion for another. Is it wrong to eat? No. Is it wrong to go play golf or shoot your bow and arrow, or hunting season's coming, go hunting? Is it wrong to do any of those things? No. Is it wrong to sleep? No. Is it wrong to be happily married? No, none of that's wrong. But what fasting is it's trading one passion for another. And that is our passion for the things of this life and for this earth, for that of the spiritual realm. It is the denial of self and the desire for the Savior. It is hungering after God and His righteousness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, Jesus said this, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, "And they came unto him, then came unto him to the disciples of John, saying, Why do the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? He said, But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them." Ladies and gentlemen, that day is today. Jesus is not with us today. And look at Jesus' response, "And then shall they fast." But you notice Jesus used a couple of pictures that we hunger and thirst after our physical appetites. But He also mentions in Matthew chapter 9 the idea of the bridegroom, the idea of a wedding party, the idea of lovers. And if one is taken from the other, there is an aching and there is a hurting and there is a longing to the point where many times they don't eat. And Jesus said that our desire for God and His righteousness, when we came and we hungered and we thirsted, and when we came to the point where we just wanted Jesus that bad, then we would fast. You know what fasting is? Fasting is wanting God and His instruction. Wanting God and His involvement. Wanting God and His intervention more than anything else. More than anything else. It really is establishing and living a priority. You know, to give you an example, suppose my wife and I, we're going to go on a trip, and we've been planning a trip for a number of years, and we packed our bags, and the day came when we were going to our trip, and all of a sudden, my 7-year-old son grabbed his head, said, "Daddy, it hurts so bad, it hurts so bad, it hurts so bad," and then fell over, and we had to rush him to the emergency room. What are we going to do? A, are we going to call Bill and Leanne? "Hey, Christopher's on his way to the emergency room. We're on our way to the airport. Text us how it goes." Are we going to do that? Or B, are we canceling the trip, whether or not we have trip insurance, and staying there with the boy so long as it takes? What are we going to do? Letter B. We're going to cancel the trip and stay with the boy no matter how long it takes. Why? Because there's just some things that are more important. And I'll tell you, you may be here tonight and you may say, "Well, preacher, I'm diabetic or I have sugar and I can't go without food." I'm not asking you to go into a diabetic coma or to go hyperglycemic or whatever those terms may be. I'm not asking you to do that. But we understand once we see a fuller aspect of what fasting is, that we can fast, we can deny ourselves, we can deny our flesh, and all of these avenues, we can deny ourselves and seek the Savior. You don't have to put yourself in physical harm. You don't have to put yourself. But there are all sorts of ways, ladies and gentlemen, that we come together. And by the way, we're not just replacing one pleasure for another. It is that time that we set aside to deny our flesh, to develop our faith, seeking God and His righteousness. It's a question of passions. What do you really want? What are you really hungry for? We see the passion of fasting. Jesus gives us here in Matthew chapter 6 the practice of fasting. Notice the verses we read at the beginning of the sermon. He said this, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces and they appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Notice first Jesus tells us, be cheerful. When you fast, when you deny your flesh, be cheerful. Don't disfigure your face, corrupt your face. Don't be all sad and oh, so pathetic. Food has power, doesn't it? Appetites affect our attitudes. I've been working really hard at getting here earlier. I find that the morning's more effective. I hate mornings. I hate mornings with a passion. You pray for me, but I hate mornings. But I'm working on it. But the problem with getting here is this. When I get here at a certain point, sometimes there's not coffee already made. And that's not good. I don't like it. When I hit the door, I know who's in the daycare because I know who drinks coffee and I know who doesn't. And I can smell. This morning, it was a good day. I walked in and I'm like, it's going to be a good morning. Other mornings, not so much. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes, and some of you are with me, sometimes in the mornings I need coffee so no one will get hurt. If you need a cup of coffee or a donut in order to produce the fruit of the Spirit, I tell you, me and you got the same problem. And we'll work on, we'll come to me, we'll keep each other accountable. I'm working on that, ladies and gentlemen. We ought not need coffee in order to produce the fruit of the Spirit. But food has power. And when we think about that, our appetites do affect our attitudes. And Jesus is simply saying this, when you fast, when you deny your flesh, how do you do it? You do it cheerfully. You are happy. You say, "Preacher, how in the world do I do that?" You bring your body into subjection. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 9. He said this. He said, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." We have the picture of an athlete who trains, who doesn't deviate from his diet, doesn't deviate from his training. An athlete who does all of these things. Why? Because he's got a goal in mind. There's a prize to be won. There's a race to be won. He says, "I bring my body into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I should be a castaway or disqualified from reward." When you fast, be cheerful. Notice what else Jesus said. Look at verse 17. "But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Not only be cheerful, but be concealed." Don't draw attention to it. Because fasting or the denial of your flesh in all of those areas is between you and God. You know, sometimes if you're not careful, you know, we eat breakfast, but by the time noon rolls around, it's like, you try fasting and it's, oh, so hard. I'm so, so weak. Pray for my fast. I'm so weak. So hungry. What did you have for supper? Maybe I can smell it on your clothes. Oh, brother, there's two wheelchairs out there. Can you go get one for me? I'm okay. I'm just in a fast. Bible says conceal it. You know, we laugh at that, but in other cultures, in Ramadan, you know what they do in many of the Middle Eastern countries? Ramadan is that time where they fast during the day, the Muslims do. And many times during that month, in many of the Middle Eastern countries, when they greet each other, they'll greet each other by sticking out their tongues. Because when you fast, you develop a film on your tongue. And so in essence, they're showing each other, ha, look what I'm doing. You too? Oh, they're displaying their fast. Jesus said, when you fast, be cheerful and be concealed. It's not the church's business. It's not the pastor's business. It's not your family's business. It's for God. And Jesus says, act like it. Otherwise, you have your reward. If you're going to go around and let everybody know what you're doing, Jesus said, you already have your reward. And that picture that he painted was beautiful. It's the term that means you have your receipt. In other words, you've been paid in full. You have got what is coming to you, and you can expect nothing else for what you're doing. Paid in full. Be cheerful. Be concealed. And be confident. Look what he says in verse 18. He says that thou appear unto, not unto men unto pass, but thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. What a promise. You know, the Bible says this, Psalm 34 and verse 18, it says this, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That, ladies and gentlemen, when we humble ourselves before God, when we deny our flesh, whether it be for a day, whether it be for 2 days, 3 days, 10 days, when we deny our flesh and we develop our faith, the Bible says that God is near and that God will answer and that God will reward me openly. And I remind you that other people don't need to know, and I don't need to display it, because the Christian life, everything that we have talked about when it comes to spiritual empowerment, your prayer life, your relationship with the Holy Spirit, your fasting, it is all about your relationship with God. Can I tell you, the vast majority of your Christianity is not what we do here. My Christianity is not what I do up here. It's what you do with God, and it's what I do with God on a daily basis in my prayer closet. Everything else is an outworking of that. And when I say be confident, let me help you understand here that God will always give you what you need. God will always give you what you need. The Bible says that he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That does not mean that God will give you what you want. Fasting is not a way to hold God hostage. Fasting is not a way, it's not a hunger strike against God. God, until you do this, I'm not going to eat anymore. And then you die of starvation. There was an evangelist a number of years ago who did that, who decided they were going to fast till revival came. And I guess they got their revival when they went to glory because they died. Can I tell you, fasting is not a way for you to hold God hostage. It's not a hunger strike. But God will always give you what you need. I think about David in the Old Testament. Don't have time to go there, but want to reference it. You remember after David's sin with Bathsheba, it was prophesied that the child they had together would die. And the child fell sick, and what did David do? The Bible says David prayed, and David fasted, and David didn't eat, and David didn't take care of himself. He locked himself away, and he prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted. And then the baby died anyways. But what happened after that? The Bible says that David arose, that he washed himself, that he ate, and that he worshiped. And he made this statement when his servants were like, what in the world's going on? David said that he knew this, that the baby would no longer come to him, but that one day he would go to it. And you know what? In that moment, God didn't give David what he wanted, but God gave David everything he needed to continue living and serving God. God gave David every ounce of strength, every bit of wisdom that he needed to continue living for God. You can be confident that when you develop your faith and you deny your flesh, that God will meet you and give you everything that you need. The passion of fasting, it's about denying our flesh and developing our faith. The practice of fasting, be cheerful, be concealed, be confident. Finally, tonight, I want you to see the purpose of fasting. The purpose of fasting. Fasting is a solemn plea. You know, there are some denominations and even some religions who do fasting ritualistically. The Old Testament Jews did. They had certain times and seasons where God had commanded them to fast. Can I tell you, that is not the New Testament expectation of fasting. We're not given times and seasons and months. We don't have a Christian Ramadan or anything like that. We aren't commanded that way. Fasting in the New Testament, the purpose here, we see the purpose is really that solemn plea, that solemn time. It's not ritualistic. I'm not telling you to fast every Saturday just to do it. You know, the Pharisee, Jesus told a parable, the Pharisee raised himself up and prayed unto God and said, I fast twice a week. And what was God's response? Who cares? God's not after your ritual. The purpose of fasting we see is a solemn plea. It's not to be selfish. It's not to be silly. I'm sorry to inform you, but you're not going to fast LeBron back to Cleveland. It's not going to happen. And if you're fasting, well, because, you know, I need to lose weight anyways, can I tell you that's not it either? This is a most serious and solemn thing. You know, fasting is when we so desperately need something from God, and it is so beyond us that we know that there is no other way that it's going to come to pass. I think about the Ninevites when Jonah came and preached to them, and they declared a fast, and everybody fasted. Buddy, they even made the animals fast. And I mean, they just went all out, and they fasted. Why? Because judgment was coming, and if God didn't turn his hand, they were absolutely going to be destroyed. But you read Jonah chapter 3, and what do you see? You see that God heard and God saw and that God repented of the judgment that he was going to send them. When it comes to fasting and it comes to our spiritual life and our needs in general, might I say this? That you should not expect God to go any further for your problems than you are willing to go. You know, it's real easy to call in a prayer request. But do you know how many people take time to come in and pray? Because it's real easy to say, you know, preacher, pray for this, or church, pray for this, or prayer chain that. But I'm going to tell you, why should God, and you shouldn't expect God to go any further for your problems than you are willing to go. And I'll tell you, fasting is a way that we show ourselves and that we show the Father that we are desperately serious about this need. We see it's a solemn plea and we see it's for spiritual power. You know, Isaiah 58, we've read it a couple times. Verse number 6, it closes this section like this. God says, Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Remember verse number 5 about the affliction of the soul. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loosen the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. For spiritual power, for spiritual victory, for victory in bondage and oppression and the bands of wickedness. I tell you, a good time to fast is when you look at your life and you see that you so struggle with a sin that you just can't get past it. Try to fast and let God meet you there. You know, when there's that oppression and you find some bondage or someone in your family is in such bondage, whether it's a kid that's gone astray or a grandkid or just something that's so far and you're so burdened and you're so weighed down, the response for the Christian ought to be to fast. Victory in bondage. Spiritual victory in temptation. You know, I think it's no coincidence that before the devil came in Matthew 4, what did Jesus do? Matthew 4:1. Bible says he was led up of the Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. Verse 2 says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Can I tell you, Jesus fasted and prayed in preparation for his temptation in the wilderness. For spiritual victory. For spiritual direction. You see, the New Testament church in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. And when they ministered, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate from me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. What was going on in here? Paul and Barnabas were being commissioned by the church at Antioch to go and to preach the gospel to the other Gentiles. In other words, it was a situation where people around the world and people in their area were dying and going to hell. And it mattered so much that they were willing to fast and pray to seek God's direction and to seek God's wisdom on the matter. We see for spiritual direction, for spiritual service. You'll remember the account in the New Testament of the father with the lunatic son. And the disciples couldn't cast out the devil. And Jesus came down and did. And the disciples asked, why couldn't we do it? Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. But howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. For spiritual victory, for spiritual direction. You know, fasting is a very underutilized and misunderstood aspect of the Christian life. When we fast, when we deny our flesh, we're not manipulating God. We're not holding God hostage. We are not forcing God. We are forming and focusing our faith by removing everything else from our lives for a period of time. And I'll tell you the reason we don't fast. Yes, it's because we love our food. But it's also because we don't see the need. We don't see the need. Most people live, myself included a lot of times, with the delusion that we've got it under control. That we have got it under control. And we are just blessed and tickled to death as can be when God chips in. But for the most part, we've got it under control. You know, I try to evaluate every once in a while and look back over the last week and say, how many times last week did I really recognize if God didn't do it, it wasn't going to get done? Many times I come up empty. How many times last week in your life, if God didn't do it, it would not have gotten done? You know, and we're real good about giving God the glory and we're real good about, you know, saying those things on the back end. But ladies and gentlemen, if we don't live with an understanding of the absolute dependence that we have on God, if we are going to live this Christian life, we are going to miss the spiritual victory that He has designed for us. The bottom line about fasting is this. What are you really hungry for? The things of this life or the things of God? And you know, I think opportunities like this, as we preach sermons on these topics and speak about our spiritual mission and making a difference for Christ, I think opportunities like this are times for us to stop and evaluate what we're doing, how we're doing it, what is really important in our lives. And I'll tell you, fasting is how God has designed that we get back to showing ourselves and showing our God where our true hunger lies. Even in 2018, God desires a people who don't live for their flesh, who don't live for the pleasure of this world, whose God is not their belly, whose end is not destruction. God desires a people who hunger and thirst, who long, who crave, who desire Him more than anything else. And I'll tell you, a tremendous step to getting there is when you fast. To do it not as the hypocrites do. That when we fast, that we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because what's the result? They shall be filled. What are you hungry for tonight, Christian? What do you really want? I tell you, God desires in this to open an avenue in your Christian life that you never dreamed existed. Spiritual empowerment. Fasting.